Hey, welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Christine Williams.
You're listening to the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast that we do twice a week for people who stitch.
Yes.
And our winner of the Lucy Calcutt sampler chart, Rosalind Schultz. So that was nice for Rosalind. Haven't heard back from her. Sent her an email. Haven't heard back from her, but I'm sure I will. It was weird. When I talked about how I had modified my stand so I could hold a scroll frame.
Yes.
It was, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, I got an email from Rosalind that her husband was going to she had the same stand that I have, the same base, and her husband was going to modify it, and could I send pictures and show what I did? So I did a whole bunch of pictures and explained what I did and everything. And, sent them to her, you know, got the appropriate thanks, and that was it. You know, I thought nothing more of it. Mm-hmm. And then when the random number generator set up the number, and I looked at the list of all the entrants for the Lucy Calcutt, by golly, it was Rosalind. So that was kind of weird. Yeah.
That is funny.
Yep. So good for her. That's be a great chart to have for her.
Yeah, that is. It's so pretty. It really is.
Yep. I hope she gets her new stand so she'll be able to stitch right on it.
It'll be a lot easier on the stand for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. So that was it, and yay for Rosalind.
Excellent.
Okay, I did this weekend. I've been doing things. So this past weekend, not a lot of time, but I had Sunday, most of Sunday. And I have all these projects that I have lined up to do, but they all needed linen cut and edged.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my project Sunday. I had the sewing machine out and the cutting board and the rotary cutter and cleaned up edges and cut linen and edged linen just about all day Sunday. Have a nice little stack of cloth now ready to be washed and ironed and stitched on. But
that's a good feeling to be in that state where you have all those things. Yep. And sometimes it's tough with a sewing machine. If you don't have a dedicated space where you can keep it out, it's kind of a pain in the neck to take it out and stitch one and then put it away and then take it out for the next one. It's nice to be able to sort of get a whole bunch of them done in one sitting, and then you can just pull them out and have them available for you.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, I have, you know, I have my table so I can have the sewing machine on the table, but yeah, I can't leave it out all the time. You know, it just can't sit out on its own little table. And so, yeah, that's what I just stacked up, and I just thought, you know, I'm just going to do mindless something, just absolutely mindless. And so I just cut cloth and edged it. And I'm going to do some embroidery. I'm going to try Mary Corbett's with one T, her alphabet sampler. I'm going to try to see how I do on three or four of those. So I have the
good for you.
Have the linen all cut and the muslin to go on the back all cut, and I have floche. I think it's how you say it. FLOCHE, floche.
Mm-hmm.
I have some colors of that coming and going to just stitch those, because I've been having these little trips where I'm gone for a day or 2 days, and I don't know if I'll have time in the evening. And so to haul along a framed piece, you know, stretcher bar, needlepoint piece, and all this stuff, it's just not, it's not worth it. You know, it's
right.
Just because I just pack to go and come right back. But to have something in a hoop that I can just pick up in the room and just stitch on at night would be really nice. So that's what those the alphabets are for. That's going to be just something I can just do simple, and I can do on the plane and not take up a lot of room. And so we'll see how that goes. But at least got the cloth all lined up.
I kind of like actually having just a project that's a travel project that I really don't take out for any other reason. You know, so you always have that one thing that is, and it's only, you know, if you travel a lot, which, you know, you travel quite a bit, I travel a little less, but I have one thing always going that's tiny and portable. You know, if it fits in a gallon size Ziploc bag, that would qualify, you know, that I can take with me, that's simple and easy to do, that doesn't require crazy lights or crazy magnification that I can't take. And it just, everything that I need for that project is in that Ziploc bag. And I just put that aside, and I don't usually work on it at home. It's just always there so that if I'm going somewhere, I can just pop it in my handbag or backpack or a suitcase or whatever. And then that's just my travel piece.
Yep. And that's,
you know, it's usually something that's, you know, not something you're invested in tremendously, but maybe it's something that you're experimenting on or something that is just a fun little thing. But it's, and then you don't have to look around and try to figure out what you're going to do. You just know you have it and you just pick it up and you go.
Yep. And that's exactly what I'm after. Just something I have in a project bag and I just grab it and I'm out the door. I'll put scissors in it, needles. I'll fully equip it and just, then I don't have to think about it. I just grab it. Oh, and, right. And I'll put the instructions in too, because.
Right.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
So, yep. So that's the plan. That's the plan. So then, you know, these designer people and people with gigantic stashes, it must be really nice to start a project like that and just go to your stash room, shelves, whatever, and just pull the threads. Because, you know, I have to order some Floche. I actually had two of the colors because Marga says to me, Marga says, at what point is it that you start to have at least some of the threads for any project you want to do?
Right.
Subtle way of, why are you always buying threads, you know?
Okay. Yes, yes. I get so, that.
I said, well, this time I had one color.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that it's easier to do with embroidery because embroidery, it's one type of thread, right? It's silk or it's cotton, but it's basically, you're working with the same type of materials, and then it's just whether or not you have the color that you want, right? So yeah. I found, you know, I've been doing like little embroidery projects, and I have kind of been able to do that where I wanted to do something and I could just go into my DMC collection or my silks collection and pull threads to do whatever it was that I was doing, and not have to buy anything special for something. But then I was going to kit up a Debbie Rowley piece that I have. And I was really looking forward to it because I bought that actually very early, like a year ago. And I hadn't wanted to do it until now. And all of a sudden now I have a place for it. So now I'm excited to do it. And I'm thinking, oh, well, I'll just go through my stash and see what I have. And I'll be able to probably, you know, have half of what's on there. And then the rest of it I'll order. Forgetting that needlepoint is exactly that. It's, you know, 14 different types of threads, and there's ribbon and there's metallics and there's, you know, watercolors and there's all these different, I didn't have a single thing, not one, not a single thing. So yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, in this one with the embroidery thing, I wanted to do it with the colors and the threads that Mary specified before I go branching off and doing my own thing.
Yeah.
And so, and she had, yeah, she had specified Floche. You can do it with DMC cotton, two strands, but I thought, no, I'm going to do it so I can just use one strand and gain some experience. And then I'll start to branch out. Cause there's a couple places where, you know, I have a couple threads I'd be happy to use there, but I just soon, at least do one of the letters the way she's designed it with the threads she's designed, and then get creative. Because that her alphabet sampler is one of her ebooks, and it's the whole it. I had the book, and I the ebook, and I had it on my iPad in Goodreader, which is my PDF reading thing, and I'd leafed through it a few times. But I didn't realize until I started to get this set up how thorough she is with her instructions and diagrams and
excellent.
Photos. Yeah, really, really good. And these are just little 3-inch, simple little 3-inch high letters just kind of curvy letters, but then she's got different stitches and different flowers and leaves and things to adorn the lines. And it looks like each one of them will go together relatively easy and not take forever, and look real nice. So I'm thinking that my overall plan is I'm going to stitch one for each of the ladies. We have a Bible class that meets at our house usually twice a month. And so I'm going to do one for each of the ladies in the group. There's only seven of us.
That's nice.
And it'll give me some experience doing that. But then I'm going to also finish them, use Vana's techniques, and finish them as a stand-up thing, a sandwich board, you know, stand-up thing, to gain some experience there. So it's self-serving on two fronts, but also I hope if I do it right, there'll be a nice little gift thing. So
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So, and then this is Tuesday. Last night, I have a Trish Burr, a free Trish Burr piece. Her white with some color pieces that I'm gonna do, and so I needed some DMC floss, and my little software in my phone said that I had a skein of each of the ones that I needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where it's at. So.
Well, that's not good.
I looked, it's like four or five different skeins, and I'm supposed to have one of each, and I can't find them. I figure they're in a bag somewhere with a project that I started, but I can't find it. And so I had to go to Joann's. Now, I've not been to Joann's since the scissors, so I had to go there. And then
the scissors
incident, yes. And then I had followed your lead, and I deleted the app. So I go to Joann's because it's DMC floss was 3 for 99 cents. So it's late at night, and yesterday was the last day of the sale, and I needed, I don't know, four or five skeins, and so Margaret and I were out anyway, and she says I'm waiting in the car because I have a feeling you're going to be right back because there won't be anything left. And I expected to go in and just see these ravaged shelves of that used to hold DMC floss. Not the case at all. No, they were pretty much full. So I must have the secret Joann's that people don't beat for threads. So anyway, so I was able to get the ones I wanted, and then surprise of surprises, a half dozen others just fell into my hands as I was walking down the aisle, and because that, you know, 3 for a buck, I'll take that. And so I got that, and then so I got that price, and then I get to the car and I remembered that I'd eaten up all my white thread edging cloth, and of course had a list, but then ignored the list and forgot the white spool of thread, so it just regular sewing thread. So I went back in to get the thread because I was there, and at the checkout, and it was like 500 yards was like $4 or $5. And I thought, man, that's healthy for thread. That's about right though, huh?
Depends on the brand.
Yeah, it was Coates thread.
Yeah, so. that is the brand.
So I thought, well, I wonder if I have a coupon. So I opened up my handy app. By golly, 60% off threads.
There you go.
So I won again. We're still a long way from the money I should have saved on the scissors, but.
Right.
I'm a $1.250 into it, I think. So progress.
You're getting there. It'll be fine.
The young ladies. I'd love to be in the minds of the young ladies that check you out, because I show up with my coupon for the floss, and I'm anxious for her to scan that so I'll get the money off, and she says not yet. Nope, just a minute, and so I wait. While she scans each of the skeins of floss.
Yes.
Now she says, so I show her the phone so she can scan it. And I come back, she says, oh, forgot something. Yeah, I forgot something. And then I said, hey, I wonder if I have a coupon. And I could tell she's standing there going, you do. It's 60% off. You can just see what's going on in her head. It's 60% off. Dig it out so you can see. It's just... Yeah, okay, he's out of here. Now we can go back to normal.
But you know you're not the only person, because there's going to be, you know, a third of the people with the Joann's coupons, because there's so many of them and because there's all the different combinations, that you know that a third of the people that get to the registers are standing there trying to mentally calculate in their head what the best combination of coupon usage is to get the best amount of money off, you know?
Right.
I'm sure I was have been that person at times. So no matter what you do, I'm sure that they've seen other people that, you know, have just stood there. Like, they just make it so complicated.
Yeah.
The coupons are, there's a lot of them and they're always changing, and it's 40% off or 30% off your whole order or 20% off a full, you know, a full priced item or not as much off of a sale item, you know, and then you look and you're like, I'm not sure which of these applies.
Right. Right.
So, yes, you have to figure all that out.
Yeah. And I, it's so, so rare that I actually use coupons that, for me, it's even like, oh, Jesus, is so much hassle.
But it's worth it at Joann's. Yep. It's definitely worth it.
Well, I got 60% off a spool of thread, which was, you know, what, better part of $3. So, hey, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So,
especially if you buy fabric there too.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the fabric can get a little spendy as well. So, and that's, you know, they'll usually have a coupon that will apply to that. So if you go in and get one cut of fabric, you can get a good chunk of money off. You know, good quality fabric. You know, there are many things that are very inexpensive, but some of the more expensive silks and good quality things, you're going to, you know, they're not cheap. So those coupons do come in handy.
Yep. Well, small victory. Two little small victories at Joann's for me.
Well, congratulations.
So maybe
I'm very happy
for you. I can build on that. You know, I can build on that.
It's just practice, Gary. That's all it is.
Okay.
You know, we can, all of us can only aspire to Arlene Cohen levels of, you know, coupon skill.
Yeah, that's professional level there, though.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
But that's how you know what your pinnacle is. That's what you know what the goal is.
Yeah, that bar is way up there. I can see it up there.
It is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is. It takes years.
Yeah. Well, that's professional grade right there. She's offered to tutor me, so you know, I can call her at any time. But I toughed it out last night. I got him.
Yeah. I suspect that if you go into Joann's at any time, you could probably walk the store and find one woman, and you'll know when you see her, that if you walked up to her and say, I have all these coupons and I don't know which ones to use, what should I do? There'll be one woman that A, will be thrilled to help you, and B, will have this whole system down packed.
Yeah, exactly.
So you'll take your app and say, well, if you use 40% off here and then use your 20% off of fabrics, then use that in combination with your frequent flyer card, you know, she'll have it all worked out for you. So you just have to get used to spotting that lady.
Yep. Frequent flyer card. Yeah. Yep, she knows how to work it. Yeah, she can work. She can work a $10 Joann's purchase into a free flight. Just watch her.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. So okay. So I'm armed and dangerous now. I've got thread on the way. I've got ground cloth ready. I have projects I've already started. I have to say though, it was in just a weird way. It was fun to just spend Sunday just mindlessly cutting rectangles of cloth and sewing edges on them. You're just mindless nothingness. So, But I got cocky too. I got cocky with the machine.
I do.
Okay. So, I have this, it's overstitch or I don't know. It's stitch setting number 6 on my machine, whatever that is. And so I'm an absolute novice rookie at this stuff. So I'm just inching the cloth through. And then I get it out the back side enough that I can hang on to it to help guide it. And I'm going, it's just inching along. It's like a stitch a second, you know, because I don't know. I just don't know. And so I'm kind of getting comfortable with it. And I think, you know, I bet I can go a little faster with this. But you know, it's an overstitch thing. So I didn't know if the machine could handle it. You know, because there's several steps to each stitch. Or it appears to be. I don't know. What do I know? So for fun on one piece, I just jacked the speed up to about 3/4 and push the foot pedal to the floor. Holy smokes, that was cool. Man, that needle was just a blur, and I was through that piece in no time. It was fantastic. I didn't realize the machine would do that. It was great.
So then the other thing that you can learn how to do is, so here's a trick. So you were making squares, right? How big are the squares?
Longest one was a foot, yeah.
Okay, so if they're all kind of the same size, what you can do is you can cut one long strip, and then you edge down the long edges of the strip, and then you cut it into squares from there.
Look at you.
So you're going to cut six squares. You make it one square wide, and you make it six squares long, and then you just edge down a whole length, and then you cut it into the squares on the horizontal line, and then you edge each of those. The other thing that you should know is if you're cutting squares, I'm imagining that you're taking the square and you're going right side, top, left side, bottom, cut the thread, right side, left, you know, cut the thread.
Right.
So the other thing you can do is you don't have to cut the threads in between. So you just run around the four corners and then just run a couple, you know, hit the pedal with no fabric there, so you have a little bit of a tail, and then just start feeding your next square in, and then just run that whole square through and then feed it through. You don't have to cut each one, and then you have basically almost like a string of flags is really what it ends up looking like.
And then you just
cut them all at the end, and it's easier to keep them neat that way too, because they're kind of all connected.
Oh, look at me learn things.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have been done in a fraction of the time with those little tricks.
With something like this where you're just edging it, I don't think it's going to matter that much that you're not over. Because usually when you're stitching like along a seam or something, you want to do a couple of back stitches.
Right.
Anchor it, right? But for this,
it's
not going to matter, really.
Yeah, I just don't want it unraveling. That's all I cared about.
This is right. It's just a fray check at this point. So, yeah, you could just run up and down one length and then cut them and then run the horizontals. But, yeah, don't cut in between. Just run them like a big giant string and then cut them apart after.
Oh, man, this is fantastic. The tricks of a seamstress right here. Yes. Oh, yeah, because that's what I was, you know, yeah, I'd run aside, pull it off, cut the thread, set it in again, sink the needle, start again. Oh, man, I could have ripped through all those in no time.
That's quilting. That's a quilting trick, right? Because think about it. When you're doing quilting, you're stitching together often many, 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 many small pieces. So instead of taking, you know, two triangles, stitching them together, cutting them, putting them aside, stitching them together, you know, you're stopping and starting and stopping and starting. And the whole idea of efficiency is to just keep doing one thing in a row and then stop and do something else. So what you do is if you can imagine you're stitching two right triangles together that would make a square when you stitch them together, you put all your triangles together at once.
Yep.
And then you sit down at your machine. And then you stitch them together in that flag method. You just run them through the machine. And then you cut them apart and iron your seams apart. And then you lay the squares together and do the same thing over and over again until you have your whole quilt together.
Look at that efficiency. All right.
Yeah, try to do all the things that are the same all at once.
Now I got to find another excuse so I can practice that. That's pretty slick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Noted. It's in the ledger. Mm-hmm.
Laziness is a big motivator. Actually, it's not laziness. It's speed.
It's just efficiency. That's just smart use of the time. Yeah.
When you're making a whole lot of something. So a couple of years ago when I was doing costumes for a show, I had to make like 25 of the same piece of clothing. So I didn't make, you know, it was making like lab coats, right? So basically a jacket. I didn't sit there and make one whole jacket and then stop and then cut out the pieces and then make one whole jacket. I cut out all the sleeves and then I cut out all the thing. Like I did them all in a row and then I did them all exactly this way. So I stitched all of the lapels together for 25 jackets. And then I stitched all of the fronts to the backs for 25 jackets. And then I stitched the sleeves in for 25 jackets. So you're doing it all in a row like that. You know, I think I might have done one first just to make sure that there wasn't anything funny about the pattern like that, you know, where you do something to the end and then you realize, oh, if I had done this differently at the beginning, it would have worked better. So I might have done one through just to see if there was any glitchy bits. And then after that, I just ran them through, you know, like that quickly. I think that's, you know, how you do it in a factory.
Yeah, I would think. Yeah.
I try to do things like that when I can, if I have to make a lot of one thing.
All right. I've learned. Thank you. Appreciate it. Boy, save money at Joann's and learn how to be more efficient at sewing. Look out. Dangerous now.
I'll teach you all the cheats.
Okay. I'm all for all the cheats. Yep. Yep. I want to get this in for sure. This was most interesting to me. Marcy, is it Marsye? I'm going to say Marcy Ray.
Yeah.
Is a needlework finisher, and she posted on, I believe it was Needlepoint Nation. She showed a picture of your standard bubble pack envelope that showed the flap, you know, the peel off the strip and self-adhesive flap. Had come to her, and the only thing that was closed was one end about an inch in. And otherwise, it was open. And she said that she gets easily half of the packages she gets for finishing. And her finishing is primarily ornaments and small things. Mm-hmm. Easily half, she said, of the pieces she gets come to her that way. Where clearly they have come open. And so she said that she asked someone who would know, and the person said yes. People at the post office are opening those to see if there's anything valuable inside.
Oh.
And so her advice was, if you are sending anything to her, tape it. You know, the adhesive thing is good for the first time, but then when it's opened, it doesn't stick as well the second time. And so tape it, and then people won't be opening it to see if there's anything valuable. And I thought, boy, that is a statement and a half about a lot of things. That she said half of the packages she gets come that way. And then of course, you know, what goes with that is she can't be responsible. If your stitching falls out as somebody looks and gets on the floor and gets dirty, and then she gets it because they crammed it back in or they destroyed it putting it back in, then, you know, what can she do? And, but yeah, this person said that, postal people, they look a lot.
That's disappointing.
Oh, no kidding. It's disappointing. Yeah. And then I thought back to, well, two things that went with that in my head. One is that, when you send stuff to Vanna for finishing, she wants it sent priority mail, and she likes it in one of those boxes, if you can do it. And of course, you have to tape those up. But then the other thing she always requires is that you put them in a plastic bag, a Ziploc bag or some plastic bag, or wrap them in plastic. And her reasoning there is, if the package gets wet.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, then your project is protected. And I thought, so there's your deal right there. No matter if you send anything to be finished, wrap it in plastic and then tape whatever package it is, tape it up. And
And make sure plastic is not just, you know, if you're going to saran wrap it, make sure it's impervious to liquids, or put it in a Ziploc bag or something like that.
Right. Sealed
because
up.
Because the whole idea, is to seal it so that it can't get wet.
Yep.
Because I get packages delivered all the time. And they, you know, they just put them on the porch, and I don't have a covered porch. So they are wet when they get to me, which is, you know, most of the time is fine. But sometimes is very not fine. So especially if it's something you've worked so hard on.
Right.
You don't want that.
Yep. So that was, yeah, that was a really eye-opening lesson there. And, of course, that applies way beyond stitching, mailing stitching. I mean, that applies to everything. And then, see, then I had an experience today in that I had to renew my passport.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to send in my old passport. And, of course, your passport and the form have every piece of personal information anybody would need to steal your identity and wreak havoc with your life. And they say right on the State Department says right on the thing, send it by some trackable method.
Yes.
So I went to the post office and said, all right, in this standard business envelope is application, check for $110, and my old passport. How do you recommend that we send it? And the lady said, well, we usually recommend that it goes priority mail. And she breaks out an envelope that's a little bigger than a business envelope where the whole front is a window. So she was able to drop my addressed envelope in there, into that envelope, priority. And then, of course, you could see the address and everything right through the window. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, that's great. And then she has the, you know, the peel off the strip and seal it down. And I was just about to say, would you please tape that? Because I had written down for us to talk about that this week. You know, would you please tape them? No, I didn't need to. She taped it. As she taped it, it was interesting to watch. She taped it along the very edge of the flap. And then she took another equally long piece and taped it at a slight angle. And I thought, you know, but it was an intentional angle. So she must have some training that this is how it's done. But so then I knew that at least it was secured from someone who just was going to do a quick open, because sending something like that with the U.S. Department of State as the address on it, you know, I mean, it's, you might as well just stamp on the front, you know. Passport enclosed.
Contains something very important about me.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Identity to be stolen inside. Yeah, help yourself. So anyway, so it was just a good lesson. And I'm going to spread this outside of the stitching community too. If you're sending stuff, tape it. Because, boy, that was disturbing for her to say, yeah, that's what they do at the post office. They open it looking for valuable stuff. And, you know, and even then, you know, you can have it insured. You can have it insured all day long. But in most instances, you know that if it's insured, there's hassle getting reimbursed, number one. And then number two, how do you insure for any value a piece of needlework? You know, I don't know what value you'd put on that. There's really no value. Something you poured your heart and soul in that's going to be a gift, or you are looking forward to having framed and put on the wall or something. How do you say, oh yeah, that's worth $500 of insurance? Nah, I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't think you do even. I mean, does it really matter? Cause they don't treat it differently if it's insured.
Right. Yep.
So it's real. Is insurance going to matter? I mean,
no, that's just it. Who cares? Yeah. You give me a check. Well, that's great. But, that doesn't replace the piece that I spent hours creating and stitching just perfectly and tearing apart and redoing sections and all that. You never replace that. So, so anyway, that was just good. I was really glad to run across that. And boy, I'll tell you, I'll be taping everything I send from now on. I don't care how strong the adhesive is on the pack, on the envelope. That's, that was disturbing. So, Yep, a good one. And then, you know, we've had on the list here various things to talk about. We never get to them. And Sarah Humphrey, who we've talked about before, Humphrey, yeah. And she does YouTube videos of different things. She did one not too long ago, or I saw it not too long ago. It could have been really old. I don't know. But it was handling embroidery threads was her video. And, you know, if you do it right, a DMC skein, if you do it right, you don't have to pull it all apart and put it on a bobbin. You can, if you do it right, you can just pull, if you pull the right end, you can just pull from that skein whatever length you want And, yeah. and the rest of it will stay together. And it's a wonderful thing when people do it right. My problem is I always pull the wrong end. I just
didn't we don't we know a trick for that though? Isn't the DMC thread? It's always the one with a longer. So you know how there's these little collars on the DMC thread? There's two of them.
Yes.
One's a little longer than the other.
Yes.
Isn't the right end always on the end with a longer collar?
I don't know.
I think that's the trick.
There is something to do with that collar length. Yes.
Yeah, I slide both of them to the middle, and then because otherwise they immediately fall off because that I'm clumsy that way. And I think, I can't remember exactly, but I think the trick is that it's at the end that has the longer collar. So okay. You should try that. Right, or you could try the other one, and if it fails every time, then you'll know it's yeah. the one.
Well, see, that's what I always do because what I learned from her video was it's not the one that's obvious. It's not the end that's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
It's the end that's kind of buried down in the threads. That's the one you pull. And if yeah. you're not thinking about it, you would think, well, I'm going to pull the one I can get to easiest. But in mm-hmm. her video, no, she showed the one. The one that's buried is the one you want to seek out and pull that. And then when you do that, it works every time.
Yeah. That's same way as like knitting wool skeins. You always pull from the center, not the yarn that's wrapped around the outside. You take the one that's in the middle, yeah. and then the outside remains intact, and you just unwind from the center.
Yeah, and veterans know this, and there are several people listening who are rolling their eyes right now. But then I just saw a post the other day. Someone said, "How do I do this thing so it doesn't get all knotted up every time?" So, Sarah Humphrey has that. Pull the one you can't find. That's the one. Basically.
Is that really helpful? Like, that's kind of...
I know.
I mean, it sounds a little silly, though, but it's true.
Yeah, but that's the one. And then she had another idea for pearl cotton. And I do this. So I take the... Well, I don't do all of this, but I take the skein of pearl cotton, you know, that's all twisted up really nice, how they do mm-hmm. that, and open it up, and it opens up into a nice loop. Just a big hoop because they've knotted the two ends together. And so then yes. I just cut the loop, and then that gives me the right length, or what I like for a length for pearl cotton, single strands. Okay, so then what I do is I just kind of fold them up neatly and put them in a floss bag, I forget now. And, mm-hmm. and so that's the way I do them. Well, she showed... that, yes, cut it, but then she braids the thing. So she has the...
Yeah, that makes sense.
And she shows how to braid it. So then you have your skein of pearl cotton. It's all braided, so it can't get all tangled up. And then you just pull from the top, the folded part, and then your thread piece comes right out and the braid stays in place. And that was kind of cool. I thought that was pretty neat. I'd have to learn to braid first, but, you know, details. So,
yeah.
So that was pretty neat. That Sarah Humphrey, I'll put the link up for this, but she's one to watch. We got to get her on the show. She's in England somewhere. Yep. All right. We got to wrap up. That's it for the midweek show. Sunday, Megan Chriswisser, who is the editor of Needlework Retailer Magazine, will be our guest. And looking forward to that.
Yes.
So there we have it. Thanks for listening. Megan on Sunday and the two of us back next Wednesday.